JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
How's the world handling it?
Yeah, 1st of March, eh? And it's been a pretty action-packed start to 2022, hasn't it? I'm sort of finding myself yearning for a period of sort of calm and settled markets and searching for things to talk to you about. But yeah, so the markets, economic situation, bit of a day-to-day proposition at the moment. So let's just do a quick recap. Last week ended with a very strong rally on US markets. So if I look at the S&P 500, they followed 1.5% up Thursday night, 2.25% move Friday night. Actually, the US market last week, if I look at the S&P 500, was higher at the end of the week than it was at the beginning. But all of that leading into the weekend, we sort of had Q expectations of a rally extending into New Zealand yesterday. But then all those tensions escalating over the weekend with the extension of the sanctions, Putin put nuclear defense on high alert. So that's sort of how that affected markets sort of has played out in the last 24 hours. So firstly, Asia Pacific markets, they obviously closed before that Friday night rally in the US. We had to decide whether to follow the weekend uncertainty or to play the catch-up rally. Actually, mostly positive reaction, but not to the same degree. Kiwi market gained about 0.5%, 0.46. Aussies did a bit better, 0.73. Range of similar outcomes across Asia. Europe overnight, they're concerned. Benchmark European index down, FTSE down, and then of course the US markets. And as we're looking at those now, the Dow Jones is lower, but the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, they're sort of hovering around relatively flat. Gold over $1,900, $1,900. The New Zealand dollar, Mike, last few days, it's been all over the shop. Thursday, it's back up around 68 cents, fell to 66.30, so big move there, but then back up, back down, 0.6761 now. So very choppy trading, but real interest for markets, Mike, is trying to figure out just what exactly these sanctions mean.
What do you reckon? I mean, it's not like they're not lining up.
So we've had a range of economic sanctions imposed on Russia by the rest of the world, right? But we still don't know where China stands on this. So that's yet to play out. We're also getting further economic developments at company levels, things like BP pulling out of the Ukraine. So we've got significant restrictions on Russia's ability to transact with the outside world. So they've got assets frozen, they've got limited access to the SWIFT global international payment system. And as you just mentioned, we've had a massive devaluation in the Russian currency. If I look sort of a month ago, 77 rubles to one US dollar, started moving about a week ago. In the last 24 hours at one stage, 117 rubles to the US dollar, now sitting around 106. This is a massive deterioration in the purchasing power of rubles, about a 30% deterioration in US dollar terms. That's enough to signal economic carnage, really, for any country. The Russian central bank has had to introduce a series of measures to try and counter the sort of what is an inevitable sort of economic destruction. So they're buying gold, they're trying to shore up their physical reserves. As you pointed out, they have about, 640, the numbers I've seen, billion US dollars worth of foreign reserves. But, Mike, that money is in central banks. It's also held in sort of various securities. They can't necessarily access some of it. It's frozen. So in normal circumstances, they would try and use that to shore up the currency. But the question is how. The central banks put up the interest rates, as you pointed out, 20% official cash rate at the moment. They've instituted a series of technical measures to try and maintain liquidity. They've ordered market players, Mike, to reject foreign client orders to sell Russian securities. So if you're there holding your Russian shares and you're ringing up your Russian share broker, well, he's got the government trying to tell you don't accept that order. Let's look at foreign subsidiaries or the subsidiaries of the Russian banks in Europe, for instance. And forgive me if I get the name wrong, but Sberbank Europe, 3,000 to 4,000 employees. Well, that will likely fail. Credit rating slides, Russian debt, basically junk debt. Hyperinflation is now a possibility. So this uncertainty now is going to potentially slow the hand of central banks around the world in their path to monetary policy normalization. And people are sort of referring back to the Lehman's crisis. So all sorts of stuff. US interest rates low overnight, talks of central banks, having to step in the short term and maintain order. Very unsettling times, Mike. Yep. We'll keep you posted on a day-to-day basis.
It is though. History every day. What are the numbers?
33778 for the Dow Jones, down 281 points, 0.83%. The S&P 500, 4377, down 7 points at the moment. And the NASDAQ down 7 points as well, 13,687, but that's bouncing around. FTSE 100, 7645, down 24.3%. The Nikkei, 26526, they gained 50, about 0.2%. Shanghai Composite gained 0.3%, 3462. And as I said, the Aussie market up 7049, and NZX closing at 11,977. Kiwi dollar 0.6770. against the US, 0.9328 Aussie, 0.6032 Euro, 0.5046 pounds, 77.97 Japanese yen, gold $1,892.30, and Brent crude has settled just above, or at the moment, $100, $100.42, but it could all be changed tomorrow morning, Mike.
It will indeed, and that's why we pay you the big money. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.